Welcome to Conversations with Toy, a blogcast tackling life one episode at a time. This is the time to air out life's craziest moments. This space is all about speaking about life's hang-ups and ways in which we can leave better than when we started. Topics are all about ways we can find space to be better in life, love, mental space, and health.
Happy Friday! I hope you have had the most amazing week. Hoo child, it is Friday and I am super duper excited. One, because we have made it through another traditional work week. Number two, oh my gosh, just like finally getting to sit down somewhere. Like the old folks would say, go sit down somewhere. And three, just because I just feel relieved. I am fresh back from South by Southwest, and there was a lot going on. Now, let me preface, this was my first South by Southwest. I had not gone before. It was on my vision board, and I said, let me see what I could do. God is so good. I was able to get down there. I was with my She Media Partners, which has been always an amazing relationship since I've gotten to link with them and have the support of my blog and the things that I need. And I'm in support of some of the most amazing brands. A lot of brands that you wouldn't even know is a partner with She Media. And, you know, I'm just here for it all, because when you have somebody that's backing your business, when you have somebody that will make sure they drop some knowledge into you, we have these meetings where we learn so much behind the scenes, and I love, 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 love it. But my first South by Southwest was great. It is a lot of anxiety that goes with going to bigger conferences. The best advice that I got before I went was to get a plan, and I have to encourage you to do the same. There are legitimately so much to see, so much to do, so many brand activations, so many free things to take home. I mean, there's literally just so much to be done, and you can get very much carried away not having a plan, not deciding which things you want to see or people you want to see, and making those your priority and filling everybody else in between. You will get lost. Not to mention, I believe in taking breaks and knowing when it is the time to go and to step back. So while I was there, there were things that I participated in. There were things that I was able to go do and see. And the things that I may have decided to sign up for but wasn't really able to go, I let that go because I can't do it all. Even with me being, I think that was on like 5 days, it still wasn't enough time. So if you ever go to South by Southwest, I also have the link. If you go back to South by Southwest, I can't even talk. Have a plan. Get comfortable shoes. Do all the things. And make sure you make the best out of your experience. I would hate for you to go down there, decide that you're going to finally get the courage to go, try to do everything possible, get burnt out by day two, and then just come home feeling like you didn't get anything out of it. Like, I don't want that for you. So in my link in the bio for the show, why am I not able to talk today? In the show notes is going to be the link of my experience with South by Southwest, She Media, and This is Flow, which is a brand, it's a flagship brand under She Media that is exclusively to encourage, enrich, and empower women when it comes to their health from their inside to the outside of their bodies. I love, love it. So read that blog. Let me know what you think. You can leave a comment on the blog. I will read it. I will respond. I will do all the things. So go ahead and do that. I totally forgot to give my welcome. Please forgive me. But if this is your first time tuning into Conversations with Toy, keep in mind that I don't think that mistakes are there to happen. If you stumbled upon this podcast, it was because you needed to hear something, something that I hope made you laugh, something I hope will make you think, and that you can find safe space here. I talk about things like self-care, mental health and wellness, and the things that are happening on these streets. Now, this episode, we are going to talk about some struggle love and how that affects our mental health. And I'm going to talk about it because there was an interview clip that just went, and everybody's kind of been like alluding to it, listening to it. And I have some thoughts. And especially, I just have some thoughts. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to be like bona fide Christian to hear the perspective, because you don't. But I just want to give a perspective from a previous PK or a preacher's kid regarding the comment, the person who made the comment, and just relationships and marriage in general. Now, I am not one of those people that talk about marriage and have never been married. I will be married almost 12 years this year. And I'm not saying that our marriage is perfect, but we really don't go around glorifying struggle love. And struggle love has a huge, in my opinion, effect on your mental health. Because when you're accompanied with somebody, you're linked up with somebody, you know, you let your guard down. You really are, you know, allowing somebody to come into your circle. You're learning how to trust all over again. You're doing a lot of things. And so I feel like once you get comfortable, you do all these different things, having somebody set you back in your mental health over some foolishness that's taken place can be a lot. Let me just say this as a married woman. Every marriage has their ups and their downs. I personally dislike when people say to me, my own husband, saying things like we're goals. We are not your goals. We are not your marriage goals. We are not your relationship goals. We are none of those things. If you see something that we're doing or something that you hear us talk about and it inspires you, then I'm okay for inspiration. But when people say that they're goals, that means that you are working to get to where my husband and I have achieved. On the outside looking in, everything can be beautiful and gold, but in the real pudding, the real mix is when you're in the relationship and things are happening. When person to get sick and all kinds of different life tragedies will happen, those things are something that may not work out for you. So when people say, I want to be goals, I don't want you to look at me and my husband or any other couple and say, I want to be like them. I want to have the type of relationship that they have. You can say there's things about the relationship that you like, but trust and believe, if you had to go through the same things that that couple went through, you may or may not be as volunteerish to sign up for such a thing. There are some people's relationships and their marriage that make it look extremely beautiful. It gives you hope. You think, okay, my time will come. And when my time comes, I want somebody that's going to treat me like so-and-so does their husband or their wife. Nothing wrong with, again, adoration. There's nothing wrong with that. But please stop making people your goals. Now, on this internet street, I won't even say the name of the podcast, but I will say the person who said the comment. And Isaac Corey is a gospel singer who I have given nothing but the utmost respect for music, because he has been around the greatest of greats. He sang with Kirk Franklin, and he sang with John P. Key, a bunch of people. And he is musically inclined, even having his group of his own and called Men of Standard. I have followed his career practically my whole life. Now, disclaimer about this comment that I'm about to make. This comment was made, one, in jest, but two, I don't even know how old I might have been when I first seen him. But whenever I first seen him, I just knew, like, at the time, I didn't know much about him at the time. I was like a teenager and I was like, oh, you know that, you know, I want to marry him. Like, I want somebody, I want to marry him. Right. And it was really just because of physically, he would be, I guess, he looks like some of the men that I've dated. Like, he has that look. He has this, like, the way he carries himself, the singing ability. You know, for anybody that's singing, you can sing Jesus Wept. And if you sing that song good, you can attract a multitude of people. That's exactly why groupies exist. However, I say all that to say, whenever I've gone places, like I went to the Kirk Franklin concert when he was here in Philadelphia at the end of last year, he was singing on there. And so, of course, I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to go see my husband. But my husband is right here in his house. So let's just be clear, when you hear somebody say that, everybody ain't trying to jump on everybody. Now, the reason why I'm giving you all this information, because I think it's going to be incredibly important to understand that I learned a long time ago, there was a couple in my husband and I's life who I looked up to. I really was like, oh my gosh, they're just like couple goals. And when you compare yourself to somebody else, oh my God, the mental health that you put yourself through is out of control. And so you'll see a couple and you see that person posting them 2011 seven times. And then you got the ones that, you know, they're always huggy bear and touching on each other and PDAing it up. But the reality of it is that although you may see the outward manifestation of those things, it doesn't always mean the relationship is great. And I felt such a letdown when a couple that, again, my husband and I are very close to, and they had separated. They didn't divorce, but they had separated and they ended up coming back together. But I used to look up to them and think, oh my God, you know, why is he, you know, why is my husband not like that husband? Why am I not like that wife? Why is our relationship not like that? Because they seem like they're having quote unquote more fun. But the good lesson that I learned in all of that is that that thief of it robs you of your joy and your peace when you're constantly comparing yourself to another couple. And once I saw that the veil was taken down, I don't know if I won't say God did it just so I could see it, but in the midst of whatever they were going through, me seeing that happen, it kind of put myself back into perspective. Now, let's fast forward to the conversation that Isaac Curry had with the podcaster. Again, I'm not going to tell you the podcast. You can go look that up for yourself. However, he was saying that there was many times when he should have been disqualified as a husband and that his wife basically should have left him numerous times. He should be divorced. And the comment that really struck a nerve was that he said, you know, my wife was the strongest woman I know. She's stronger than my mother. She's stronger than all these different people. And I know that he probably thought about it or after he went back and listened to it or watched it. I'm sure he felt, I'm hoping that he has some level of, oh my gosh, people are going to run with this. We are going to run with this. We are going to run with this because today's topic is going to be about struggle, love, and our mental health. Now, saying to the peoples of the world that your wife is super strong because she basically endured your abuse of some sort. Now, nobody is saying that he was knocking his wife upside the head. I do not need any type of defamation suits and anything like that. But what I'm saying to you is that saying that she's super strong, she's stronger than my mom, she's stronger than this over divorce says that you've done something that whatever her boundary was, whatever the boundary was, you have done something that completely crossed it. And you did it numerous times, which means you didn't get the lesson the first and second time, right? And so my struggle with this conversation is that, you know, this glorification of the strength of a wife. Now, there has been so many conversations that's been going on TikTok about, you know, men and women and how they are so different and it's so true. But for you to come and formulate your mouth to say that there were numerous times when your wife had to basically be strong. And in the church, we learned that being a covering to somebody, especially like when a man covers his wife, it makes sure that nobody can penetrate. That means you have, and I don't mean anything sexual, please get your mind out the gutter. But what I do mean is having the ability to make sure that your wife is good, making sure your husband is good, you know, making sure that if somebody's going to say something about your spouse, you stop it immediately. Like you have a covering over your life. And it is very much disturbing when I hear men, and he is not the only man that I've ever heard say that, you know, these discretions, whatever level they are, men, I'm just telling you right now, are not the type that could put up with it the same way. What do I mean by that? If a man were to cheat on his wife or his girlfriend or significant other, whatever you would love to call yourself, men have this high expectation that they believe that nothing that they did was that bad. And so they have this expectation that once they create and do something that they're necessarily not supposed to do, they have this concept that a woman is going to stay and she's going to cater and she's going to work through it. And that working through it and her being a busy bee and holding in her emotions and learning how to push through makes her elitist, you know, and strong. Here's the issue. We just saw Risa Tisa talk about her ups and downs of things that she took full accountability for how she got into the situation. But this Christianity tells you that, you know, basically you're supposed to try to work it out, I mean, above all the things, because God doesn't get any glory out of divorce. I just say do what you want to do with that, right? Here is the phrase that stuck out to me the most is about this whole strength part. I have heard men glorify that, like it's your anniversary time. And instead of you talking about the beautiful attributes of your spouse, a lot of men will say, you know, my wife should have left me 10 years ago because I had cheated on her and I didn't do right by her and I messed up on her and I lied to her. But at the end of the day, she got her stick with me, husband trophy. And therefore now she's strong. This is where people describe struggle love. Not that you're incapable of having a decent relationship or having a relationship that is flawed. We are talking about the concept of Isaac Corey saying multiple times his wife should have divorced him. I want to say that, let's just say we took it as an example of cheating because we don't know what the crossing of the line is. Everybody's boundary isn't cheating, surprisingly. And so let's just give an example of cheating. If you had to have these conversations with your wife, be past the behavior that you exhibited the first few times, and for whatever reason, the message just wasn't clicking, you going on a national podcast and talking about her strength is really not a flex. Men think that it's a flex. Listen, I get that some wives make you feel like, you know, there's a participation trophy in marriage, but there really is not. And telling you everybody about how gracious your wife was because she basically endured, like legitimately endured. And I'm going to tell you why I say the word endure, because there's going to be somebody that's going to slide into my email, that's going to slide into the socials, and they are going to disagree with me to the nth degree. When your spouse crosses one of your boundaries, and let's just say for the example, cheating, because the way that he said it, it definitely gave me cheating vibes, but let's just use it as an example. When that husband cheats on their wife, they come and they, somehow it gets out, whether they were forthright with the information, whether they got caught or it came out because somebody went and basically dropped a dime, whatever the case may be, the struggle is real when you feel like you have given your all or the most that you could to your spouse. And regardless of what you've done, your spouse has decided that you were not enough and went to have sex with somebody else. Okay. That is the perspective of the woman. For men, they turn this on, this physicality on and off, but you don't get a brownie point just because you think that, well, you know, I'm not capable of turning it off. I'm not capable of saying no, like I'm going to, you know, do whatever happens and just let the chips fall where they may. People in relationship don't want the participation award in saying that I was strong. Here you go, sticking by me when you could have easily left, and you stood by my side and you covered me. You didn't go on the blogs and confirm whether or not I was doing all these things. And so I honor you by, you know, the things that you were able to endure, to put up with beyond and past your breaking point and tying a knot and staying a little longer because you're unwilling to have it disrupt your world. But men don't think about the fact that when you're inappropriate, when you're cheating, when you're doing all these things, that it literally will destroy a person's world. They just don't understand that concept. And so I was vexed again when I'm hearing this concept of this, my wife is so strong and she's stronger than my mom and she's stronger than all these people. But see, this is the thing. Do you really respect your partner? Do you really respect your partner when you have to continuously keep tripping over the same thing 2011 times? Like, honestly, ask yourself that. Because your mental health for a woman is going to be depleted. Right? You have done all the things, you're trying to stay on track, and your spouse has decided to go and step outside of that boundary, whatever it is. That messes up with your head because you begin to second guess yourself. And let me just say this, I'm quite sure with him being such in a public place, and what I mean by that is not where he's physically at, but the way he carries himself and the celebrity that he has. Now, he may not be a Beyonce or whatever the case may be, but in the gospel world, he is very much known, okay? And to have you go on a podcast where you elevate her strength and being able to put up with the behavior that you made choices to do is wild. That's some wild stuff right there, right? This is wild to put your person through, this person that you love so much, seeing how you broke her the first time, because I'm gonna tell you right now, everybody under the sound of my voice knows good and darn well, if you get cheated on or mistreated in any way of your relationship, no matter what level it is on, it will feel like it's going to break you. So you saw the pain that you caused the first time when you stepped out of that boundary, and that alone wasn't enough to stop you from doing it again and then doing it again and however many subsequent times after that. But you want to demonstrate the fact that she's strong because she didn't walk away from the foolishness of that you created. It's dirty business right now. That's wild to me that we glorify these moments when reality is like, are you serious? Are you okay? You saw me crying. You saw the break in our relationship. You saw the rebuilding that had to be done. You saw the way that I felt about myself and the felt about this relationship. And that did not stop you from going back out again and stepping past my boundary, because struggle love is where it's at. It's not. It's not. It's not a flex. I think men think it's a flex because they got a wife that's going to hold it down no matter what they decide to dish. And I'm like, what? What is happening here? Mike Epps went on a podcast and said the same thing. I'm over 50 years old and I'm hoping that one day I can actually treat a woman well. What? That's his goal, is to treat a woman well 100%. And you're currently married? And this is the flex. How embarrassing for that wife, right? Even if she's strong and doesn't go on and bash him on the blogs, just like Isaac Carey's wife obviously didn't, according to him, it's absolutely degrading and embarrassing, because it's one thing to cheat and have this crap go in my house. It's another thing for everybody else to know that you cheated. And then they know that I actually was willing to put up with some of this, because that's basically what it boils down to. You got me out here in these streets. You are embarrassing me, and you got the audacity to see what it did the first time and still went back into the pot and dug some more and did some more. When women heal from people betraying them in some way and overstepping their boundary, you assume that some of this is your fault. So you take on this as, I could have done something better. I should have known better. I should have done all these different things. And I'm saying to myself, do you realize how hurtful the amount of pain? Every time they see you, they can think about what took place. Every time they hear your voice, regardless if they're staying and getting their participation award for the marriage, at the end of the day, they stayed, and the pain in their spirit, the pain in their voice, the pain in their mind, and the roller coaster ride that becomes getting back to making you feel comfortable enough to think that everything is good so you can go back out and do it again. I honestly do not believe that there is anybody that's going to be perfect. I don't know anybody perfect. I'm not perfect. And what she was able to put up with, it ain't the same. It's not going to work for me. And maybe the things that I'm putting up with may not work for her. And everybody has a breaking point. That's one thing I learned as a kid. Everybody has a breaking point. It's just a matter of how long you went to tap dance on that breaking point before it becomes really an issue and become truly problematic. This is why I cringe when I see people post these types of things on anniversaries. You're not even making it about the person, how wonderful they are. You're making it about the fact that they could endure the mess you decided to conjure up. It's dirty work. He also said, Isaac Carey said, she wouldn't let go. She has so much fight in her. There's a lot of reasons as to why somebody stays. And I'm not telling you that she stayed or if she was going to leave, it had anything to do financial, because a man of his stature could have easily just paid her and they could have just went about their way. But the investment of walking away, giving this life to somebody else, those things do play a part, especially when you have some celebrity. Okay, you go through, there's somebody staying with Ray Ray right now that ain't acting right. Somebody staying with Bubba and them, and Bubba been beating her. Bubba been doing all kind of stuff to her. But the mental health that it takes to continue to put up, to continue to have to heal your heart, to continue having to put a Band-Aid over something that you don't even have the control of stopping. See, if I hurt myself and I do something to myself, I have to find the ways to bear the brunt of that. But when somebody else is hurting you and you kind of like do a lifetime supply and you stand up and raise your hand for that, that's a lot. And what I was saying about Risa Tisa was a lot of the things and reasons why she stayed had to do with this concept of, as a wife, you are supposed to just be that, you know, safe space. But where's that wife safe space? It has to be more than just what you can provide, and it has to be more of a safe space than what you can give her. Where is the safe space that I can trust that when my husband or my man or my girl, whoever you got on your side, goes out into the world, that there's no reason for me to consider that they're out here just throwing it out to other people, putting my life at risk? That putting me at my life at risk right there is actually weighted for me a little stronger. It's weighted for me. And let me tell you why. There's so many people dying and leaving this earth because their spouse gave them something that they don't even know when or how they even got a hold to it. And this is how you tell somebody, but they stuck it in. Now, be clear, I'm not saying that he has anything and I'm not saying that she does. Before y'all start rolling into the emails, no need, stop yourself and pump your brakes. I'm talking about the ideology of how it feels to struggle with the person that you love the most, but will not act right on your behalf. The same behalf that they say, oh my God, I just love my wife. I think she's so great, but you won't do what's right. Actions have always spoken louder than words. Actions have always. And so when you tell your spouse, I'm not going to do A, B, and C, but then you on the low key do it, you don't get that back. And then the flip of that is there's so many people that will say, well, you knew that it was going to be hard. There's always temptations. There's always a bunch of 2011 things that can happen in a marriage. And so you got to just be, you know, take with whatever you can get. If that is what you think, please don't get married. And if you believe, as with Isaac or Corey, that you believe that struggle love is going to be okay because it makes you and shifts you into what you need to do, I think what it does is that it reveals the fact that you're willing to just keep trying to bring about this unsettling feeling because you don't have really, like emotionally, you really don't care about this spouse you claim you love. Because if I love somebody, I'm not going to continuously do something to physically or emotionally hurt them or damage them. And this concept of struggle love is being is taken out of proportion. When you have ups and downs in your marriage or your relationship, because you will, you can have that as a forefront. Like, look what God is doing. God is keeping me every single day. I thank God for his mercy and grace. All the things that we say in church. But to have your spouse continuously embarrass you in these streets, that is the strength of the woman that she should never have to bear. When y'all gonna just act like you got some sense? When you just gonna be faithful on your own? When you just gonna take the time to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do? When is that gonna take place? Because if anything, I know there's plenty of us that want and desire that. We want to be loved and respected. Respect it in every level. Now, if you go into the comment section of where this comment was made, and I do encourage you to watch the entire podcast just for the simple fact of just having information so you can compare. One of the things that I kept reading over and over again in the comment sections was, you know, people are misunderstanding what he means about, you know, staying and all this other possible part of this. But here's the thing. Again, staying and having all these different just things that are happening, you will feel like nothing you do is going to ever be good enough for your person. And that alone messes with your mind. It makes you feel like, God, what is going on? Why am I having this happen? What, you know, what can I do something more of? Can I take something back of? And it's crazy work. For better or for worse is a lot to take on. This is why people should count up the cost before they get married. But I feel like we take that same concept and we apply it to things that are show enough toxic and say, well, I'm going to go do this. Come on now. I don't know any person that wants to continuously get embarrassed so many times. I just don't. Not that that doesn't happen, but we don't look for it. Fighting for your family, if it's fought in the right way, can be very much organized once it's all said and done. Fighting for your family because your spouse is showing you he don't want to be there, but he, you know, somehow we got to make this work. I don't understand. Now, a little bit about what's happening on these internet streets. Y'all been doing quite a lot. There's been so much going on in these last couple days that just ain't making sense to me. Love is blind. You guys have lost. Y'all are going through it, going at it. Now, I've been trying to keep up with at least the blogs about this particular conversation only because it's everywhere. And we're talking about Clay and AD and about their relationship and about how he basically got up there and basically said he wasn't ready to be married and left that young lady at that altar. My God. Again, men will play in your face. Women will play in your face. People be playing in each other's faces if you let them. And I'm not shocked by any of this behavior. And the reunion show was interesting too. But all I have to say is, again, I don't know what levels that men are expecting or women are expecting or people are expecting to receive when they put this type of foolishness out in the atmosphere. Okay. Some of y'all have to rethink about how you treat your spouse, how you treat your person, because everybody that keeps saying they love somebody and is not doing what they need to do is just, it's mind-boggling to me. I need some of this to stop. Because some of this stuff people say just out of rhetoric. It sounds good. It sounds like we're going to do something. And so this, we're just going to make this happen. And it's not like what, it's not what people think it is. People are in arms about Drea Michelle and Jalen Green, who have are expecting a baby. And the fact that this young man is the same age or like a year or two younger than, or the same age as her son, is crazy to me. It's really none of my business because they're two consenting adults. I just think that it's a little crazy for you to date somebody that could be your son. If I'm old enough to be somebody's mom, I don't really see that as something that I'm desiring. I don't really see that as something that I want. But Drea Michelle is a, you know, she was on, wasn't she on Basketball Wives or something? She was on somebody's show. And, you know, people think that she is just whatever. And so now that they're about to have a whole baby, you know, I pray the best because I'm not going up there to change nobody's diapers. So I try not to get caught up in stuff like that. Just like with Isaac Coree. It's a great conversation to talk about how, again, our women's mental health and people's mental health in general gets, you know, completely depleted and having to keep recovering from the same thing. So, but I, at the end of the day, I'm not married to Isaac Coree. And I don't know what my breaking point is when it comes to that. But I just pray to the Almighty that I don't have to sit there and continuously take somebody back numerous times. I feel like life is completely short. And I feel like dedicating yourself and your world to somebody for them to just turn around and do you like that. I don't know. But although I can talk about these conversations, I don't allow it to just be my whole thought process. Like I got many other things I could be working on and could be doing. But again, everybody's talking about Drea Michelle. She's talking about basically this baby as she's having a baby with a baby and all these other different things. Whatever works for them works. It don't work for me, but it's not my life. So although I can have commentary about it because it makes for a great podcast episode, I'm not putting myself in a position where I'm getting so frustrated. I don't want to get so frustrated that I take on other people's issues as my own. So what are the things that we can keep in mind when we're in a relationship in general? One, when you go into a relationship, go ahead and find a way to make sure that you continue to maintain your own separate and personal lifestyle as long as it's not disrespecting your spouse. What that means is if you enjoy going out every now and again, if you enjoy going to the bookstore, if you enjoy taking trips with your girls, whatever the case may be, because every relationship is not on the same level, so I can't give the same advice because it doesn't always apply. But I pray that we go ahead and keep our identity. We learn how to be in a relationship without the relationship taking over us. One, that's number one. Number two, having different talents and leaning into your gifts and your talents that are different from your spouse and never giving that up, right? We go through different things and there may be some things that you eventually walk away from, but don't give up being who you are in the space that you are because of your significant other. Three, common decency and respect. All this, I love you, but then the behavior is showing something different. All this, I love you and you're cheating on me every other week. All this, I love you and I can't respect you, but I'm here to uplift your, you know, your badge of honor of sticking out and enduring. I want better for us. Number three is communication. Communication, you need a lot of it. And there's going to be times when you are going to fail as a person who even knows better. And then there's going to be times when you're not. All I can say is being transparent as much as possible is super important. And so if you can't be vulnerable enough to be transparent, then I think you need to reevaluate this relationship that you're attempting to be in, stay in, or go in. When it comes to our mental health, keeping a couple things in mind. I know it doesn't feel like that when you're in the midst of the situation. So in the times of when your mind is at peace, these are the types of things I try to remember. It's to respect myself, to love myself. And again, to take care of myself, which means I'm going to go and find whatever job I can to do the things that need to be done. I'm going to go ahead and make sure that I do certain things to keep everything afloat. And I just want us to figure out how we can be strong individual people in the midst of a couple. I get it that you are now one. And so when he eats something, you eat it, you know, all that stuff is cute. But the real oneness is when you can actually be one with somebody and you can trust them or begin the process of trusting somebody with your heart, because you are going to want to be in a situation where you're feeling like you're respected. You don't have to be something that you're not. You don't have to go through all these jumps and hurdles. I really want that for us. So make sure you're doing those things. Number five or six, I don't remember what number we are, but the next that I want to keep in mind is, while you're in a committed relationship, while you're in a marriage, you're completing all the tasks that you have at hand, make sure you take some time to simply disengage. Like, that disengagement has been the word of the week for me, because I have been doing everything to rest, and rest some more. I have just been really trying that. And some of it is the life is kicking me. So I have to move a couple things around, but I want to be in a relationship that I feel proud of. And I also don't want somebody, and you know, it's wonderful. It's not even wonderful, but it's a thought. If women did the same thing to men, they wouldn't be able to take that. I'm going to say this again, because I know you're not getting it. If your spouse, you're a female, your spouse as a man wants you to be on the struggle bus and says, I just, you know, appreciate how strong you were because you didn't leave and you stayed and you're finding yourself in multiple situations. I promise you, if you get your lick back, they ain't going to do the same. They're not wired like that. Women are such nurturers that we put ourselves last. And sometimes in putting ourselves last, which is why I encourage you to do self-care and put yourself first, is because when you put yourself last, you don't really get the best of the best. You get whatever is left over. Let's say you're at a dinner and you decide to go last. You're going to only get whatever's left over. Now, that doesn't mean that the meal can't be good. That just means that you didn't have the pickings of being able to choose the certain things that you want or the things that you know you need. Okay? I want to end this podcast by saying, every relationship, no matter what you see or don't see, has their ups and downs. There will be times when money won't be coming in. There will be times when a child or even the spouse is sick. There are different levels and things that will take place. And it's literally up to everybody to decide what that boundary is for them. Okay. And if you, as a man, are in a position to believe, or you truly do believe, that there's like this, you know, such a redemption power that we can't ever forget. One thing I remember somebody telling me when I was in therapy plenty of times is that you have to be willing to forgive and forget a lot of things in order for you to matriculate without that bothering you. And there's a lot of women who feel like they seem like they're super angry all the time. They seem like everything is just wrong, but some of them have been through some things that you probably cannot even imagine. And I just always try to encourage people to just give the same level of grace, because, again, we don't know everybody's story. But we do know that it is the weekend, and that means that it is time to do all of the things. Sometimes we go to the stores and we're rushing around trying to get ready for the week. It could be as simple as doing the laundry and picking up some flowers. I want you to take this weekend and every weekend and usually every day and find a way to do something that is going to suit you, makes you feel absolutely amazing, puts the biggest Kool-Aid smile on your face just from thinking about it. Those are the things you want to write down and start crossing off as you do them, because those are the types of times when you get your strength. When you're alone and you feel like your spouse is nearly cheating on you every other minute and nothing you have said and done has made or break it, you've got to find to also get into the position where you legitimately do not allow things to happen that can be avoided. And sometimes that may mean walking away from a relationship. I'm not here to encourage people to do one thing or the other. It's up to you. I don't got to live with your decisions. But what I am saying is that making the decision to say, this is my boundary, and if you cross it, then I'm going to have to, you know, leave. I'm going to have to do whatever it doesn't need to do, whatever that case may be. I really want better for us. I want better for us as a human being. I want better for us as a, you know, entity. I want us to have just better for us as a marriage. I want all of the things to be in line with as much as possible.
Thank you as always for joining me. And I know that even in the deepest or joyful conversations, that there's something we can learn and apply. Until next time, I hope that you are doing better. If not, we will be back to talk some more and handle it. Peace to you and yours. Stay grounded.